Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into it today. Father, thank you, Lord. Woo, come on. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right here on planet Earth while we're on it, God. And Lord, everybody may look around and say, this is falling apart, this is falling apart. But let me tell you something, Lord, while things are falling apart, you are building, God. You are raising up a remnant of generation right now, God. You have not stopped working and interceding for our behalf, God. And we want to enter in, God, what you're doing and just join in with the King of Kings this morning. So, Lord, use this word. Speak to us for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to take just a moment and give some honor where honor is due. We have Pastor David Hooks and his family in the house. Where are you guys at? Yeah, there they are. Back there. His wife Liz, his son Josh is able to be with us this day and honored. He was my pastor for umpteen years. So if you got questions and problems, go see him. But anyway, it's an honor to have them in the house this morning. Amen. All right. Starting a new series this week and going for 3 weeks for sure, because I've got three topics that I want to teach and preach on this next 3 weeks. And they all three kind of mesh together. They kind of have the same definition. They kind of have the same meaning. Yet at the same time, you can separate them, and they actually build upon each other, and there's really no order in how to build them. Sounds like controlled chaos, doesn't it? And for the next 3 weeks, I really think the Lord has impressed on me to preach on understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. How many of you know right now we're living in a time where we need understanding, knowledge, and wisdom like no other time in our lifetime anyway? With the things that are happening at such a fast pace, and good things are going on as well as bad, amen? But again, I want you to understand, understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, all different but all kind of the same. And this morning we're going to start with, everybody say understanding. Now, and I've said this for a long time, that seems like common sense is a superpower that not too many people possess anymore. And there's another saying I like is common sense is a flower that doesn't grow in too many gardens anymore. It's almost like we forgot how to truly understand things from a biblical kingdom standpoint. Now, you can understand a lot of things, but what is your precept behind how you understand and what's your filters of understanding? And when it's anything else but the kingdom word of God, you're filtering it through wrong stuff. And so this morning I want to encourage you, and we're going to cover a lot of scriptures today, and since I'm supposed to preach the Bible, I think I'll use a lot of Bible today. Amen? Amen. So, but I want to give you three definitions of the word understanding, and maybe you'll understand while I'm preaching on understanding. Hang with me now. Okay, let's go ahead and put up the first one. Understanding according to the modern day dictionary. I looked this up on my computer, and this is what it said that understanding was. To be sympathetic, empathetic, to be considerate, thoughtful, kind, accepting, appreciative, supportive, and tolerant. Can I tell you that's nowhere near the true definition of understanding? Amen. That is a modern day perversion to will allow you to whatever you want to understand the way you want to understand it, and then you will now justify by your understanding your sin, your shortcomings, and your failures. But the world loves this version of understanding. Come on now. Let me give, again, this is where This is the understanding, modern day world version of understanding, where we can come up with our own truth. Well, if I believe that's true, then who are you to tell me it's not? There is only one truth. Jesus Christ himself declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if he's the way, the truth, and the life, there's no other way, there is no other truth, and there's no other life except through Jesus Christ. Can we understand that? Well, we say we do anyway, because we've heard it time and time again. Now I want to put up the Hebrew definition. Go ahead and put that up. The Hebrew definitions, because we're going to be both in the Old and New Testament today with understanding, so I want you to get both definitions. So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Hebrew understanding word means this right here. It means understanding. It means comprehension. It means discernment. Everybody say discernment. I could cover that. And then I love the last one, righteous action. What kind of action, church? And if it's not righteous action, you didn't understand good enough. Anytime you act in unrighteous actions to him, them, they, you, me, us, we, our circumstances, whatever in life, we're not understanding God's plan anyway. We may understand how we've been offended. We may understand how we're justifying our actions. But anytime it goes against God's word, it's unrighteous actions. Amen. So that's the Hebrew definition. Now let's real quickly go to the Greek definition. The Greek definition means, it means this right here. It means your mind, your thoughts, your intelligence, the thinking faculty. Come on, some of y'all got that. Everybody, oh, never mind. We're not going to ask a level of that. Your thinking faculty, your intelligence, your insight to something, the meaning that your mind attaches to persons or things. Look at that last one. The meaning that I give to persons and things. The person of Jesus, I have an understanding of Jesus. You have an understanding of Jesus. Even if you're in here today and you've never accepted Christ, you have some sort of understanding about Jesus Christ, and your mind has attached this understanding to Jesus. Some people see Jesus just as a religious figure. Some see him as just a historic man. Some see him as a good prophet, a good teacher. Some see him as Lord and Savior. Some see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some see him as the way, the truth, and the life. And my friend, everybody has an understanding about Jesus, but do they have a kingdom, Word of God understanding of who he is? You see the difference this morning? You can have, everybody's got understanding about some stuff on a certain level, but what has been the influence to get you to your understanding? And anytime it doesn't come out of the Word of God, Don't buy into it. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. So let's put up the first note today. And I should have used the word grow, because this is the name of the subject. This is the name of our series. It's going to be three growth factors. And you do want to grow, I hope, amen, as a Christ. Come on, set your neighbor, say, you do want to grow, don't you? Now, I do meet Christians who like to get saved and sit. And they don't want to grow. Because they know as a Christian, if they make themselves a devout man or woman of God, they're going to have to do stuff. They're going to have to serve. They're going to have to pray. They're going to have to study. They're going to have to apply the Word of God to them. Some people just want what I call fire insurance. They just want to avoid hell but live like it while they're on the earth. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, that ain't God's salvation. He wants you saved, sanctified, filled with his Holy Spirit because you've got a purpose in planet earth. Amen? And it needs to be fulfilled. But anyway, if you are wanting to grow or prosper in life, you need a kingdom biblical understanding. You don't need a denominational understanding. You don't need a religious understanding. You need a Word of God, Genesis through Revelation, understanding of who God is and who you are in him. Now, let's just, again, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, so just write, these will be in the notes on the internet and all that stuff. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. Everybody say fools. Hope that's not us today. But fools have no interest in understanding. Let me say that again. A fool will have no interest in understanding that which he thinks he already knows. Okay? Let me finish the rest of that verse. They only want their opinions. They want to air their opinions. Are we not living right now in the middle of that scripture? Dear God, help us, Jesus. We are slap dab right in that verse. People who are foolish, they're not interested in understanding anything but what they've already been indoctrinated with. And if your indoctrination didn't come from the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost through the Word of God, you got a bad indoctrination. You got to get indoctrinated with the Word of God if you want to know and serve God. And then it says they just want to air their opinions. Man, just go to social media. You can see stupidity live on the planet. It's all over there. Man, I could stay on this stuff. I'm going to try my best today. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Now watch this. Turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Now look at that word. You have to concentrate to understand. And in today's fast-paced move, phone, all this stuff in a way, and commercials now, do you know that the whole media world has changed? If you go to a movie, you will hardly ever see a scene over 10 to 12 seconds anymore. Why? Because our attention spans, we've been trained, 8 to 12 seconds need something else. That's why I move up here all the time. Because if I stand still, you'll be like, this is getting boring. And plus, I also move that way in case somebody's trying to draw a bead on me, they don't, got to hit a moving target. Amen. But turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. In other words, you got to fix your mind. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God who understands God. So I'm going to have to think about it some. I'm going to have to get some instructions and some teachings and some discipleship, and not only just get it to register, but get it to understand the process of God and His Word. And then the next verse, cry out for insight and ask for understanding. When you don't know something, ask. You know, the only dumb question is one you don't ask. Why? Because you got a question you don't ask, you stay dumb. There is no dumb question. I don't care what people make fun of me. If I don't understand something that's obvious to everybody else, I'm still going to ask. Hallelujah. Go ahead with the next verse. Search for them the way you would for silver and seek them as hidden treasures. Man, if I told you there's a pile of silver out somewhere on this property, everybody would be going and looking. But if I tell you the knowledge of God is in the Word of God, very few people will pick up their Bible. Man, it says you better go after the Word of God more than you'll go after that pile of silver. Go ahead, next verse. I'm trying to hurry. Then, when you start doing this, I love the Bible when it says then, because there's a process with a result. Then, after you, when you get that lifestyle, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. Now, notice it says fear the Lord. It doesn't mean you're afraid of Him. It means, the word fear there means to honor, to be in awe of, A-W-E. I'm in awe of God's presence. Yes. To know that you're standing in the presence of pure holiness, and He's a righteous God. That's the fear of the Lord. Now, watch this. It means the fear of the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. If you do these things, I promise you, you will have more knowledge about God, yourself, and the whole plan of life. But if you don't do these, you'll be left out. And you'll operate in your own understanding. Guys, listen to me now. I don't want to operate in my own understanding because I don't understand everything. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. Let's just move on. Go ahead. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God. Next verse. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's the whole series that we're preaching on in one verse. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And where does all three of them come from? Comes from God. Now listen to me real closely. Love auntie and uncle. Love family members. Love everybody else. But some of them has an understanding that's not based on the Word of God. They have tradition. And the Bible says that the traditions of men will make the Word of God null and unavoid. And it may sound good sometimes. But it better be, you better, I tell everybody, if you read your Bible, it'll bless you. Study this to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Here we go again. Wisdom is the principal thing, Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. What good is it to have wisdom if you don't understand it? Go ahead and put it in the Amplified Bible. Let me read this same scripture to you. Proverbs 4:7, now the Amplified says, the beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom. Amen? What kind of wisdom? Look now. Skillful and godly wisdom. Amen? It is permeated with your acquiring to get understanding, active seeking, spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation. In other words, you can get the wisdom of the word, but if you don't understand it, what good does it do you? Doesn't do you any good. And we're seeing a lot of that sometimes in churches. Well, I can quote a whole lot of scriptures. I've got the wisdom and I've got knowledge in the scriptures, but I really don't understand what it means. Then you have scripture with no power. Are y'all okay? Wow. Put up this next note. When we don't walk in godly understanding, we end up with ungodly and unsafe situations in our life. Anybody ever made a bad decision? 17 honest people in here. The rest of y'all just sat in the house of God and absolutely lied. Yeah, the altar's open right now. Repent, sinners. I may talk about some of mine in a minute. There's so many of them I can choose from. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Wise choices. What kind of choices, church?
Wise
choices. Listen to this verse speak to us. Wise choices will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe.
Amen.
It'll keep you safe. Some of our own afflictions that has come into our lives has been because we were stupid. We made a stupid decision, sometimes based on stupid information. Come on. But we went ahead and did that stupid thing anyway. And then we got the consequence. And then we blame God. It's amazing. If I could encourage you to do one major thing out of this message, is listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you. How many's ever been faced with that situation or a choice in life, and you know the right thing to do? Come on, you knew it. You knew either to do that or not to do that. And then you chose the opposite. If the Holy Spirit was saying, no, don't do that, you're like, I think I'll do it. And if the Holy Spirit is saying, man, do this. Well, I really don't want to do that, so I'm not going to do that. But the whole time we knew. It's not like you don't. I'm amazed at how many Christians say, I don't hear the voice of God. Now, me as a child, too, when I heard preachers preach and they would say, God spoke to me and said this, God spoke to me, I'm like, man, I'm not hearing God say nothing. Wow, I'm horrible. Now, when the most people say they hear God speak to them, it's that small voice inside of them. It's usually not an audible voice that we hear. It's that inner spirit being that knows how to communicate with God in the spirit realm. And if you say, well, I haven't developed that yet, I can promise you within the next 10 seconds, I can develop you where you will hear God. In 10 seconds, count it down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bam! Word of God. If you can get yourself a Bible and you can open it up and you can read, that's God speaking to you. And you need to hear this before you hear anything else. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through the power of the Holy Spirit in our spirits. Amen? You can hear God if you will listen for Him. You've probably heard Him most of your life, and again, you ignored Him. I did too. Don't do that, Joey. I'm absolutely doing it. And then, Lord, why did you let this happen? He says, I didn't let nothing happen. I told you not to. You did it on your own. I hate it when you're right, Lord. But he's right all the time. He's never not right. Amen? So listen to that still small voice inside of you. Well, how do I know if it's God? Again, when you know your word, God will not speak against his word. God will not tell you to go take someone else's spouse for your next spouse. That would be God going against his word. But when you're convinced because of your feelings about something and about what love is and what it's not, and you fall in love with somebody else's spouse because you see a forte that you like about them and an aura and your understanding about them is what you want it to be, oh, the Lord told me to leave you and go marry somebody else's spouse. You are demonically possessed. You are listening to the doctrine of demons. The Lord told me to kill you. Now, the Lord loves you, but I don't like you, so he okayed me to kill you. Doctrine of demons. Are y'all okay? Man, we gotta move. Put up the next note real quick. So how do we start walking in this kingdom understanding? Again, it's not a religion, it's not a denomination, it's the word of God. It's a kingdom. Everybody say a kingdom. Now, I'm fixing to put up a note that has the potential to highly offend a lot of you in here. Probably especially the person sitting beside you. So go ahead, let's put up the next note of how do we start understanding, and we have to actually realize and admit that we don't know everything. Check your neighbor's pulse, make sure they're okay. Because you know they know everything about everything. They'll tell you they do. How many have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house? Throw your hand up like you're proud. Yeah, of course you do. How many know everything about him? None of us. So if we don't know everything about him, there's still things we need to understand about him then. Therein lies the point. We all know something about Jesus, but we're not coming to understanding everything that he's trying to tell us throughout our whole life of who he is. And you'll spend the rest of your life discovering Jesus, if you will. Because he's new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's new every morning. He's got some new knowledge for you today to discover him in a deeper way today. To know him in a more personal, intimate way. Understanding, one of the words for understanding is intimacy. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. I know we know this verse. Now watch this. When you do that, here we go again. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will direct how much? All your paths. How many want to go your own way? I'm going to be honest. There's some things in the Word of God that I don't like. The Word of God tells me I got to love everybody. Come on. It says everybody. The people that make fun of me and talk bad about me, the Bible says I got to love them. The people who's done bad things to me, the Bible says I got to love them. Now I'm going to love them from a distance because I'm afraid to get too close. Sometimes you got to love people from a distance. But when you're walking in forgiveness, it doesn't become your identity anymore. Now you're free to understand God. But as long as you're bound up in unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and resentment and fear and anxiety like Austin talked about, you're trapped in an understanding that you can't go no further. There's so much more to God that's been done to you in your past. Wow, so much more of him. Amen? But you got to trust him. Not just in a few areas. The Bible says in all your ways. He'll direct your path and all your... So many of us want a life on our own, and then we want to have like a church life on Sunday. Come on. Boy, that just fell off right there and landed. That truth's still laying down here for some of y'all to jump on. We do. We have a Sunday Jesus and a Monday through Friday hellacious us. Maybe want to check your neighbor's pulse on that one. I want him to direct my life. I want him to direct every relationship that I have. Because if I don't need that relationship in my life and it's going to draw me away from him, I need him to direct me out of that relationship. Some of you sitting here today have got relationships God's probably trying to direct you out of. But you're so caught up in how much you got to be liked by them, or they do like you, or they affirm you, that you ain't willing to walk away and listen to God. Now, you don't treat them bad, but if God's telling you to get out of a relationship, you better get out of it. Now, if you're married, God's not speaking that. Some of y'all just like, oh, I heard that. I'm leaving you. Pastor said I could. Now, I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about association with people who are dragging you down. Some of y'all going, I'm married to that person. Pray for them. Keep praying for them. Amen. I want God to direct my marriage. I sure as heck don't want to direct my marriage. Come on, most people want to direct their marriage to themselves. Because after all, you took your vows to yourself. I promise to love me. I promise to cherish me. I promise to put me before my spouse. Come on. I promise in sickness and in health, I'll let everybody else wait on me. And I love me. I do. No, your vows was to somebody else. Did you forget about that? So when you direct your marriage, that's what happens. When God directs it, you remember your vows to God and to your spouse. I want God to direct my kids. Amen? And I don't, you know, part of the direction was the cootie booty board we shared the other day. That was just the Lord, y'all. You're welcome. I've always wanted and finally understood at one point that God is directing my workplace, my job, my career. And when I used to work in the secular market as in maintenance and manufacturing and machining and all that and engineering, I realized one time I got a job I couldn't stand. My first 2 weeks there, I was miserable. Wife says, quit. I said, we quit. I quit. We don't eat. And we're having to live under the bridge. All the way there, I'm praying, God, have I done something to offend you? Are you mad at me? Why have you took your hand off of me? Oh, gosh. And then I finally shut up complaining. I finally shut up long enough one morning for him to actually speak to me and get a word in. And the word he got is, you're not there for anything but this one person. You have an assignment there for this one person in that manufacturing plant. His name is Tim Watkins. Oh, God, please, no, not him. Yeah, him. Long story short, 1 year, took me a year to get to him for Christ. Longer story short, he got saved on a Friday night. I went to his house and made him go with me. I threatened to fight him in his front yard. Now, he was bigger than me. He was faster than me. But I told him, I said, I'm coming to you with an anointing of God. Do you want to fight an anointing of God? I said, get in the car. You're going. He got radically saved that night, surrendered to preach that night. We come home and flush drugs down his toilet for his party that he was going to have that night. He started leading people to Christ all over the place. He started leading the people he was dealing with to Christ. He got ordained in his home church, preached his first message at my first church. I had just come up here, been up here a couple of months, was lining him up. He just got a new job at the Toyota Motor Plant. Had a new baby with his wife, Miss Wanda, 34 years old. Walked in, I called him, I said, I want you to come preach, I'm in a new place. He says, let me get with my pastor and make sure when I can, because he serves at his church. And I said, whatever your pastor says, that's order. I said, absolutely, you check with your pastor. You don't set nothing without letting the man of God know. So he said, I'll get back with you. 2 days later, I get a call from his brother. Tim clocked into work, took 2 steps, and fell over dead of a heart attack. Went to heaven. Yeah. And then I realized through the junk and through what I didn't like and through my personal stuff, I didn't want to be there. I was there on an assignment from God to make a difference between a man going to hell and a man going to heaven. And I had to choose, just, it ain't nothing about me. I had to choose just like you do to see that. And I began, when I understood the assignment, then I quit griping as much. I still gripe some, I'm going to be honest. But I didn't gripe near as much, and especially when I would try, and it seemed like I wasn't getting nowhere with him. and then get to preach the man's funeral that you know he's in heaven because of God's assignment. Not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is and how he sets up divine appointments. If we understand our assignment is bigger than us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And when you begin to understand the assignments and the word of God and your positioning and why you're there, and you may not like it for a season, when you do that, it begins to take that fear and anxiety that Pastor Austin spoke about a while ago away. Amen? Amen. Listen to me now. It's no wonder we're scared as Christians when we don't understand. But it's when you go into that deep, intimate knowledge of the things of God that it takes away the fear and anxiety in the world when the world is going crazy around you. Amen? Now watch this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, I'm going to read the New Living Translation out of this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Woo! Don't ever let that slip out of your mouth. Gimme, 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 gimme. Always follow through and thank the Lord. Lord, I'm needing this, and I need to go here, and I need to do this, and I want to glorify you, and I want to go. But Lord, thank you for all you've already done. And Lord, if you decide to do this, it'll be a bonus. If not, I'm still going to serve you as hard as I can the rest of my life. Whew. The thankfulness of all. Now watch this. Tell God what you're doing. Thank him for all he's done. Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace. Whose peace? God. Didn't say your peace, did it? It said you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Now watch this. His peace. Touch your neighbor and say his peace, not yours. His peace. His peace, not yours, not mine. The Lord's peace will guard my heart and my mind as I live in Christ Jesus. It's when I walk outside of Christ Jesus that I get into my mind, my will, and my emotions. My soulish realm is run amok by lack of understanding, and then I make all kind of bad decisions. Now I got to live in fear and anxiety of those consequences. But when you live, you can have peace. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Even when bad things happen. The King James says it's like this. It's a peace that surpasses all your understandings. It goes beyond what you're capable of doing in just your power and strength. Somebody say, thank you. We got that to tap into. That I don't have to rely on. Because I'm going to make a statement here, and it's going to be weird. And I had to write it down. It's not going to be in your notes because I didn't want to publish it out as a note. Because it's really weird to understand. It's hard to understand. But if you understand, you understand. Understand? Everybody's looking up here now. Everybody's like, the heck with the phone, what did he say? Are you ready? Now hang with me here. Pay attention. Even when you don't understand, you still understand the word of God and your faith in it. Say it again. Even when you don't understand, you do still understand the word of God and have your faith in it. I don't know if I can interpret that, but I'm going to try. There are things in life I don't understand, but I still understand the word of God, and I'm going to keep my faith in it no matter about the things I don't understand in my fleshly realm. I have a spiritual understanding of the word of God that I will not be shaken off of. I will not be moved off of. You will not tear it down. Nothing can change the word of God. And if something can change the word of your God in your life, then you need a bigger God. You have to settle this is God, and you will accept nothing else, no matter if you don't understand something with what your eyes see, what your ears hear, what your feelings are. It doesn't matter. Stand on the word of God by faith. I don't understand when I go to the hospital and I see little kids in there just all tore up from the floor up. But I got an understanding that God has a purpose in all things. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, all things work together for good to those who love Christ Jesus. It does not say all things will be good. And in those times, I have to go back. I don't see the good in this, Lord. I see no good in this, but I believe the word of God over what I'm seeing. And I'm still going to declare signs and wonders and miracles in the face of death and destruction, disease and affliction. I believe your word, God. But what happens if you die? I'm totally healed.
That's right.
Never to suffer again, never to have a bad day again, never for there to be a hair out of place, what's left of it. Amen? Death is not the defeating of Jesus Christ in a believer's life. It is the reward. Oh, yeah. Get a different picture of that. Well, I got to move quick. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know. Everybody say we know. Watch this now. We know. That means you got knowledge. We know that the Son of God has come. Woo, thank you, Father. And He has given us understanding so that we can know the one true God. There's somebody here, you've heard that all your life, you kind of believe it off mom and dad's coattails, but you've never made it your own. You will not get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. You won't get to heaven on your preacher's coattails or your auntie, your uncle, your grandmother, whoever you're around. The best person you know, you can't go in on their coattails. You have to make it yours. This has to become settled with you that this is absolute truth and there is no fault in it. So we know that the Son of God's come and He has given us understanding so that we may know the true God. And now we live in fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. Which means He's available to us 24/7. He hangs out with me. He goes on vacation with me. I know a lot of people try to leave Jesus home on vacations. Come on. We live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. If you say you know Jesus, you know the Father. Are y'all okay? He is the only true God, and He is eternal life. Yeah, you can give a little golf clap right there. Again, there's nobody else, and I know you've heard this preach, but you can hear it 1,000 times, and you can have some understanding, but until you make it your understanding that you will not be taken off of, what can separate you from God? Can anything separate you from the truth? All right. If you get this figured out, and you understand this, everybody say, by faith. Then you can make it through anything this world throws at you. I'm talking anything. Anything this world throws at you, you can make it through with faith in the Word of God. And understanding God is love. He doesn't just do it. He is love. He is power. He is the anointed. He is almighty. He is supernatural in everything He does. Whew. I shall not be moved. Y'all remember that old song? I shall not be moved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, real quickly. Come on. So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, everybody say you. Say that means me. You should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Empty delusions is another word for they don't have a true understanding of who Christ is. You're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. You're not designed by God to respond to life like the rest of the world. You don't fall apart like a $2 suit every time something happens. Come on. You don't allow depression to overtake you in evil times. You have a God that's mightier than anything, who loves you and is for you, not against you. Next verse, Their corrupt logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Now watch this. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. There are so many people right now so set on going to hell, you can tell them all about Jesus' love and how He loves them and how He died for them. They will not receive it. We are living in one of the most dynamic times in our nation anyway. And I'm just going to say it like the Lord's been giving it to me. We are living in a season where people are operating in high places with reprobate minds. They're a reprobate. You can show them the way, the truth, and the life. They will know it's the way, the truth, and the life, but they will deny it. Why? Because they're going to stay with their own understanding of why they want to be on earth. and it is for selfish pleasure, selfish power, and selfish gain. And anything that gets in the way of that, for them to serve God, it's beneath them, they think. But I'm telling you, in the inside, they know the truth. But it won't set them free because they won't understand it. Because to understand it would have to give up their understanding and their way of life to conform to the image of Christ. Now, we yes and amen about politicians and powers and business and all that do that. But what about the people sitting in churches all across the world today? With the same mindset. Yeah, I know Jesus. I know he's kind of real. I know he's a historical figure. I know that. And I got some understanding about it. And I think, this is what I love to hear people. Are you saved? Some people sometimes, you're knocking at death's door. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Are you saved? Number one answer when they're not sure, and they know they're not. Me and Jesus got our own thing worked out. I didn't ask you if you had your own thing worked out with Jesus. Are you saved? You're not going to work nothing out on Judgment Day. It's already worked out. You better surrender your life to Christ if you want to live eternity with Him. It's not by your own dealings. He's already dealt with sin, death, hell, and the grave. I don't know. We get so arrogant, I think, because we've been so capitulated to in everything about whatever you say is truth, whatever you say is truth, your truth is your truth. And this is the truth. Their blinded understanding keeps them seated in moral darkness and keeps them from knowing the true God. And this is all around us. But let me tell you something. For those that have understanding of the grace and the goodness and the love and the power and the anointing of God through the power of His Holy Spirit in your life, we have the answer for them. And we got to quit living out of pointing fingers and point them to Jesus. Can I have a better amen there? We just got to start pointing them to Jesus. Well, they'll cuss me out. Whoop-de-doo. Anybody ever not been cussed out? Y'all say, I've never been cussed out, but I've cussed out my share of people. Shame on you if you're doing that. Stand to your feet, last scripture. I know we've been over a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Here's the good news. Now we have received. Everybody say we received. I don't know what you got, but if you didn't get the Bible, you need to get this today. Those who know Christ, not just in theory, not just in fictitation, not just in religion, not just because mom and dad knew him. Now we have received not the spirit of a world. I don't want the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world's going to hell. I don't want the spirit of the world. We've not received the spirit of the world, the Bible says. But look what it does say. But the Spirit who is from God Himself, not a God, not one of the many gods, capital G-O-D, God Almighty, the one and only. We've received the Spirit from Him. Why? That we may what? That we might understand the things freely given to us by God Himself. Guys, there's a free gift waiting on you today. It's the understanding of where you're at. And right now, I don't care where you're at. Well, I do care where you're at. Okay? I care where you're at. So does God. But what I'm saying is, you know right now, I don't have to stand up here and do anything else. You know whether or not, if your number got called today, you would either go to heaven or hell. You know that. I ain't got to convince you you're going to hell. I ain't got to convince you you're in heaven either. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've professed Him, and you're living your best life, trying to out of this word every day, you've got a promise. But if all you are is a church-going religious person, you can bust hell wide open. Knowing and having some understanding and yet not able to go because you wouldn't surrender. So this morning I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to read that verse to you again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Can I tell you, as you're praying and asking God what you need to do right now, understanding is a continual journey in your life. And it requires your dedication. It requires prayer. It requires your willingness to grow in your faith. And you got to earnestly seek and understand. And you got to open yourself up to every transformative power of God's word. And he'll lead you there. He'll lead you to a more purposeful life. He'll lead you to a more peaceful life. And he'll lead you into so much revelation knowledge of him in you and him in you. Let me just ask you this last question, or make a statement, I guess. Jesus understood his assignment. His assignment was to come to earth in the form of a human being and pay for your sin because you couldn't pay your own sin debt. To die in your place, a perfect man who had never sinned, but he was going to take my sin and your sin on himself on that cross and shed his blood for you to be sitting in here today. Not to be goofing off, but for the seriousness of the hour between heaven and hell, for you to make a decision, no matter if your best friend's here, your parents are here, your kids are here, or who's beside you, I will not miss heaven because I will not understand something. I will come to the knowledge of truth. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But if you don't understand that freedom, you can't walk in that freedom. And today, I'm still understanding. But I have the major understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And I've accepted him not just as my Savior from hell, but as the Lord of my life while I live here, to do his purpose at the best of my ability. Some days it's better than others, absolutely. But I know who he is and who he's called. And this morning, he's calling you to his kingdom. He's not calling you to a religion, a denomination. He's calling you into the King of Kings, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And if you've never accepted Christ, this is the way we do it. We do it with you lifting your hand in just a moment to surrender your life to Christ. We pray with you out loud together, all of us, if you choose. But we tell you this right here. You're not going to join this church today. Too many people have made it about, well, you're going to join our... No, you're going to get hooked up with Jesus and his kingdom today. That's our number one goal. He'll plant you in a church as he desires later. So number one, don't worry about joining church today. And don't worry about becoming some religion. Well, am I going to be this or am I going to be that? You're going to be a child of God. Yes. You're going to be a son and daughter of the Most High God. The Spirit of God is going to come dwell in you. He's going to direct your paths after that. So if that's you with no strings attached, just you and God today, you and Jesus, how many would raise your hand and say, I've never accepted and made Jesus my Lord? But I understand today that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and I will not get there any other way. Just throw your hand up and say, today's my day. Anybody in this house? Right here's one. Right here's one. That back there is another one. Yeah, come on. Come on, let's celebrate the Lord. Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Anyone else? Man, I love to see those hands shoot up without any reservations. We're going to pray together as a family. That means everybody pray together. I'm already saved. Hey, I'm still going to pray it every time I get a chance. I just like to make the devil mad. But let's pray with our new family of Christ this morning. Come on, and you two, to raise your hand. Make sure you say this out loud enough so you can hear your own voice, okay? Jesus, here I am. Today I receive you. Based on the fact of understanding who you really are. Understanding that I cannot save myself. I cannot pay for my own sins. But today I understand that you've already paid for them. And you've been waiting on me, God, to come and receive you. So today, by faith, I believe that you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And I confess that I have to have you to be saved. So come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. All for your glory. I believe and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And today, I stand clean. I am forgiven. And I am redeemed by Christ. And I am a child of God. In the name of Jesus, I'll never go back, because I can't go back. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.